look upon the board. My train ain't here, summer's on the road. Summer's on the road, summer's on the road. My train ain't here, summer's on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Live in our studio, the Foghorn String Band here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The program is your connection to local performances. What have you got in that mandolin?
A rattle.
Still rattle. In there, huh? You got something caught? How do you get those out of there?
You don't.
You don't, yeah. Good luck with that. It adds a little color.
It sure does.
This is live music here, and the reason that these guys are here is that they're actually playing in our area tonight in Urbana at the Iron Post. It's the second leg of a couple of weeks tour. They started up in Chicago, what, last night already?
Last night, yeah, so the City Winery in Chicago.
The City Winery. That's not where people wine, but it's where they drink.
Yeah.
And listen to music. Well, you can do all of the above at the Iron Post tonight. 6:30 is the start of the show, and we're really glad to have them. It's a sort of a return appearance for a couple, if not three, of the members of the Foghorn String Band, except that I think it's the first time they've ever played for us live. Got a chance to talk to Nadine at some point on the phone and to Caleb, and I might have talked to Sammy. I'm sort of forgetting. It would have been a couple years ago or three because, you know, they've been in our area a few times at least.
Yeah.
And so it's great that the schedules happen to work to have you all here. Let me introduce everybody. Caleb Clauder. And Stephen Sammy Lind are the two original members of the band, and then more recent additions. Oh, and Caleb is the one with the rattly mandolin. And there you go. Sammy is the fiddler, and they were both on the vocals there on that last tune.
That's right.
Nadine Landry is the bass player from Canada.
Yes.
Quebec. Does that mean you speak French?
It's my first language.
Is it?
Oui.
All right, Nadine Landry. In that case, do I need to say your name differently?
No, it's okay. I'll answer to anything.
Nadine Landry.
Is that how that... It sounds like you're doing the laundry. And then Reeb Wilms is the guitarist. Where's Bellingham? Washington?
Bellingham's in the very northwest corner of the United States, in Washington.
In Washington State. And y'all are based in Portland, Oregon.
That's right.
So this was a nice haul for you to come out to the Midwest. Is this a specifically Midwestern tour at the moment?
Yeah, this is our third annual Midwinter Midwest tour that we're doing. And Reeb came along last year, and so we toured as a four-piece. And that's what we've been traveling. We've been traveling as a four-piece the last couple of years now. And these guys flew into Chicago yesterday, and myself and Nadine have been kicking around the Midwest. I'm from Minneapolis area, so we've been spending a lot of time in Minnesota and northern Wisconsin the last couple of weeks. And
So when you say you're from the Minneapolis area, is that you're
Yeah, I was born
living
and raised.
I was born and living raised. There currently.
I was born and raised in the Minneapolis area, and spent a lot of time in northern Wisconsin as well, and went out to go to college out in Portland, Oregon, and that's where I met guys like Caleb and the other three members that we started the Foghorn String Band with back almost 15 years now. It's crazy.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is how long you've been around. So the original group was a quintet.
That's right.
And you've been up and down in size since. I actually have a recording here that was the Foghorn Trio.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Foghorn Duo as well.
That's right.
Which two of you is that?
You have to guess.
Well, I would assume it would be the two originals, which would be you and Sammy.
Right. Well, actually, there were five originals, but you're right.
The two remaining originals.
There you go. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I can tell this is going to be a semantic nightmare.
He's a stickler.
There's a test at the end, a quiz.
That's right. Anybody who knows me out there will probably say I deserve it, because I do that sort of thing to people all the time. Very much a stickler. Okay, so five initially. What were the other instruments then?
Same thing as we have here, but a banjo also.
So guitar, bass, plus banjo.
Guitar, bass, fiddle, mandolin, banjo, yeah.
And what happened to those poor folks?
The banjo player, Taylor Grover, first kind of started having some real serious hand problems.
Trigger
fingers, a common issue that people get.
Players?
No.
Or just in...
It's something that people can get, is a nerve issue and can be linked to carpal tunnel, but he's finding other neurological issues that he's having.
I think it's called, officially, he found out it's called focal dystonia.
Yeah.
And he just actually had it operated on last week after. He hasn't been able to play with us for about 6 years now, but he's actually getting it.
It's coming back a little bit.
Exactly. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll see what happens.
Actually, that's something that has affected, I think that's the official term applied to some pretty famous classical pianists who've, for some reason, it's always the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll end up playing left-handed music only, because there is some left-handed music for the piano. And sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't. So here's hoping that he does. I mean, they've learned a few things about it since.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's unfortunate for him. And the other two?
The other two, I think they just kind of, maybe things shifted and they were struggling with, one was starting a family and the other one runs a really wonderful printing business that prints all of our packaging. It's quite unique, as you can see, Stumptown Printers. And so he and his partner and his twin brother ran that business, and I think struggled more and more with touring a lot or running a great business, and chose the part-time musician and a business owner over full-time touring musician, which the two of us wanted to be doing more of. So they sort of, we still wanted to play music together, but couldn't do it as a professional touring band. So we sort of became a two-piece, which Sammy and I had been doing for 10 years, playing as a duo once a week at a little wine bar in Portland. So we had a real strong connection going there already since we made the Foghorn Duo CD, which we'll get to you. But that just kind of came naturally.
So that was, you started that about 10 years before the Foghorn String Band came up together.
No. Sort of during.
Yeah, we had before the, we had made a CD as the Foghorn String Band. The two of us had been playing quite a bit together. Caleb came out with his first solo record called Sings Out, and I backed him up quite a bit on a few shows, doing a lot of those original songs. But also, just when you play for a two-hour gig, you end up pulling out a bunch of other kind of repertoire, and we had a kind of fast-growing traditional repertoire that we were building at the time. This is back in, 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
Well, regarding the repertoire, I'm just going to quote from your rather wonderful biography off your website. There's some nice language going on here, but it says, "The Foghorn String Band play the old way, the way you'd have heard string bands play on southern radio stations back in the 1930s, without fancying up the music." What does that mean, really? The old way as opposed to, what is it you don't do that you could be doing? And actually, before you answer the question, this is a note to Mike Pritchard, our sound engineer. You might want to send somebody in here and move one of these microphones. It's sitting on a board that is going to keep rocking every time Reeb moves her chair. That's what that noise is. So maybe somebody can fix that while you answer that question. If you remember the question, do I need to reiterate?
Yeah. What makes us play the old way and not the new way?
Yeah, what is the old way versus the new way?
I guess we've always just had a really straight-ahead approach to the music. And I guess maybe a lot of the are like the I guess a lot of the more modern bands bands these days will put a lot of different alternative chord changes. They'll trade off and do a lot of solos, and change up the sort of overall feel of the tunes. Whereas we started as a dance band, you know, as a foundation.
A lot of bands get away from the melody too.
Exactly.
Get away from it because it's like they got more something more to say than the melody.
Meaning there's more improvisation in some of the newer?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And we've always just found, you know, sticking together. And of course we do some improv, but, you know, we always found the real core version to be the most important thing and the most strongest thing to get across. And I found just traveling around, a lot of people lose that and don't think of that as the most important part of the music. Whereas I've always thought the melody and the sort of subtleties of the different versions are, you know, really make the tune speak, I guess.
Well, in that segment that I quoted, reference to the Southern radio stations back in the 30s, what was going on? I wasn't around then, and still not in the South. What? And neither were any of you.
No.
But what went on in Southern radio stations? What would that be like?
Well, like for instance, that tune we started with there, the All Night Long Blues, that would have been a really common tune that would have been heard on the radio by many, many different string bands.
Yeah, there's plenty of recordings. We weren't around, but you can get recordings and stuff.
Yeah.
The idea being that there was a lot more string band music on the radio, period, and back then down there.
I think there was a lot more on the radio back then, for sure, than there is now. It seems like, actually, I see a resurgence of it, which is pretty neat. We were talking about that last night, that, like, banjo would not be heard of 6-7 years ago on any kind of commercial radio station. And then you get, like, Mumford and Sons, you know, it's a different kind of banjo style, but they're playing banjo on, like, major radios, which it's kind of cool that sound even is accepted. So it's definitely coming back around.
Then you get a guy named, like, of course, now I immediately can't come up with his name. Bela Fleck, you know,
sure,
who gets famous doing all kinds of different music on the banjo.
Right. You don't necessarily hear him on mainstream radio too much, though.
I suppose
banjo.
That's true. No. But he's a touring banjo soloist.
Sure.
Which probably didn't happen much before, as, you know, separate from some sort of band.
Right. Right.
Which is kind of nice. And I know one of the things that I've heard him do that is really fun is his collaborations with African musicians. I don't know if you've heard any of those, which are really fantastic.
Throw Down Your Heart documentary.
Exactly.
Really,
that's
great.
I haven't seen the documentary.
It's amazing. He goes to 4 different countries in Africa and plays with a bunch of African musicians, and it's fantastic.
And the nice thing about it is he integrates himself into their music rather than the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, trying to put in. Well, speaking of their music, how about a little more of your music? We're talking with the Foghorn String Band, who are in town from Portland, Oregon, for a gig tonight at the Iron Post in Urbana. It starts at 6:30, and they're live in our studio. What do you want to do next?
Speaking of Southern radio back in the 30s and banjos, Charlie Poole was a great banjo player who probably was on the radio back in the 30s in the South, and he sang this song called Outshine the Sun.
Outshine the sun, then we'll walk
the golden streets on high. And by and by we're gonna see the king. By and by we're gonna see the king. By and by we're gonna see the king. And we'll walk the golden streets on high. Yes, we will. The golden streets on high. And by and by we're gonna see the king. By and by we're gonna see the king. By and by we're gonna see the king. And we'll walk the golden streets on high.
Outshine the Sun, sung by, who did you say? Was
Charlie Poole.
Charlie Poole.
I'm not sure that he wrote it, but he recorded it, and that's where we learned it from. It's a good chance that he might have written it, or some other unknown folk singer, songwriter from the day.
Carter.
Yeah, right,
A.P.
Carter.
Well, that's the thing about this kind of music, too, is that you don't always necessarily know who wrote it, because it gets filtered through so many different people, and then so-and-so learns it from so-and-so, who learns it from so-and-so, and you guys learn it from him,
yeah.
Which probably means that new twists get introduced. Oh, yeah.
It's even
the
getting
time.
To the point now where I can't tell if I've changed it, the lyrics or not. I can't remember. You know, it's even.
Well, that's like the game of telephone, isn't it?
Right, you know? Exactly. Exactly.
You tell it to somebody and then you think you got it right, but. And then it just becomes the fog. So somebody's going to pick it up, I'm sure, from the Foghorn String Band at some point.
Yep.
And turn it into something else.
Yeah.
So that's the. Speaking of turning things into something else, I read that. Among the things you guys do, besides some Cajun music, which is interesting to talk about, is some of your own originals, maybe Caleb's in particular, that sound vintage but aren't? Yes?
I guess they're probably just written in that similar vein, you know, they're, that all of our other repertoires played in.
Yeah, I think you're opening a pretty interesting can of worms with your last question and this question, probably like, what is vintage and what is that sound and what does that mean as opposed to the opposite of that?
More or
less.
Seems
like what you're asking the last question too. So, I mean, I don't really know exactly how to define that either.
Because I think if you'd say right now that you're playing country music, people would associate it with what they hear on the radio right now on popular country music, mm-hmm. which sounds, in my opinion, really different.
Sure.
Yours and the country music on the radio. So I don't know if it's a shame or not to have to put vintage in front of it, or why don't they call it new country and you play country?
Right, right.
And it's this whole, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah, do you call what you do country music?
In this band, not necessarily. Some of it, we might play some country music. It's really funny when you start asking the fine lines between the genres.
I know, that's right.
It really, really gets blurry when you get really close in. And, but in a way, it's country music. But we call it this band old time string band, you know, old time string band music. With the other band, the country band, we call that country music. Yeah.
Which other band?
You asked. Oh, I have a band that's like the Caleb Clotter Country Band that does honky tonk country songs.
Oh, I guess I didn't know about that one.
Well, I thought you seemed like you might have known, you know, fiddle and steel guitar and drums, and not too far different from this, but different than that it's not all traditional, and it's not all fiddle-driven necessarily like old-time music might be. It might be a little more song-crafted and song-oriented.
And all focused on dancing, I guess. Everything we do, we like to see people dance.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty important part of the music we play.
You could say honky-tonk, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's sort of, I've said this many times before, but it's sort of a shame this show is only a radio program and not also a television program, because I have the chance of seeing you guys in here, which I understand is not exactly how you set yourselves up at a live gig. You usually gather around a single microphone?
Yeah, we're pretty close to it right now. I mean, we would have a microphone hanging here and maybe some instrument mics on the guitar and mandolin, but sort of all singing. We sit in this kind of configuration, though.
We call it the cockpit, where, yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is they're really close together. You couldn't be much closer. Their knees are virtually touching. Yeah. Yeah. And I keep waiting for Sammy's fiddle bow to poke Reeb in the eye.
I keep waiting for that, too.
It's happened.
I hope you keep waiting. Oh, it has happened.
Yeah, I hope I wait for the rest of my life.
Between me and Caleb, I think we both.
Some battle
Caleb
scars.
Plays fiddle as well, too, so he's got me back a few times.
I used to sit, when we were a five-piece, I used to sit over there between Sammy and Reeb. That was where I would sit. And I used to wear a big wide brim hat. It would kind of force a little space between us.
Yeah. That was the idea?
That was just kind of like, well.
You can't get any closer than the brim of this hat.
So that gives me like another 2 millimeters for the fiddle bow. Definitely kind of. Have room in here.
Do you ever do.
I got hit a few times in the temple there.
Do you ever do duo fiddles?
Yeah.
Dueling fiddles?
We should do one of those maybe.
You want to hear one?
Sure.
Oh, geez.
I mean, I've heard of dueling banjos, and I've classically seen two fiddles. I'm sure I've seen two fiddles in all kinds of
other. Never heard of dueling mandos, though, have you?
Dueling mandos? I can imagine it, though.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. We only brought one, though.
Who's the other mando player?
Well, Sammy plays, you know, the mandolin and the fiddle are tuned the same. He picks out a nice mandolin. Sammy does.
Should we see the Louisiana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned doing some Cajun music as well.
Yeah.
Which we play a little bit. Sammy's been learning the accordion, and Nadine, as you mentioned before, is French-speaking from Quebec, which is, she can tell you more, but the ancestors of the Cajun people. And, go ahead and introduce the song.
I guess we'll just kill two birds with one stone. We'll play double fiddle and feature a French Cajun song called Sud de la Louisiane, which is the title of our Foghorn Trio record we did a few years back. And it's a really positive song. A lot of the Cajun repertoire talks about how lonely they are and how the person they love have left and how they're all alone and miserable. But this one just talks about how the animals are really happy and the girls are the best cook and the guys are the best dancers, and the old men chop their firewood and drink moonshine all winter long. And
to stay warm, right?
Making them the best citizen of the world.
So the title just means Southern Louisiana.
South of Louisiana, exactly.
Don't go too far south because you'll be out in the Gulf.
Yeah. Very wet and salty.
On a trouvé nos crocodiles, les crocodiles de la Louisiane.
Wow, that song brings up a bunch of questions, actually.
All right.
There's the Foghorn String Band here, live in our studio and live and local on FM 90.9.
Hello, Radio World.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be playing tonight at 6:30 at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, a great place to hear music. And drinking wine, as that reference to a while ago. It's a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. And maybe before I... Well, I'm going to introduce somebody from the Folk and Roots in just a minute, but I wanted to see if I can get in a couple of these questions, actually. Nadine, I was curious, since you're from Canada, but you're singing this song about Louisiana, and it's kind of Cajun music. Did you have to modify your French?
Not so much.
For this song?
I'm from the east coast of Quebec.
I don't know what that means relative to this
question. Well, it means that I'm Acadian descendant, which is different from the people from Montreal or something. They've come to Canada probably in the early 1600s. So way earlier and geographically really isolated than the rest of the other Canadians that came. And they're the ones that have been kicked out by the British in the 1750s and made their way down south to Louisiana because it was still a French territory. So I feel a really strong connection with Louisiana because Acadians became Cajun people down there.
I was going to ask if that's where the term came from.
Yes.
Is that pretty much
her
it?
Parents booked it north into the woods, and the rest of them went south to Louisiana.
Yeah. I just think my ancestors took a wrong turn. And
so you hid out for centuries? Is that it?
Well, yeah, for a while. It was pretty dangerous to be Acadian in the 1750s, I think. People didn't really want them around.
How is it now?
It's fine.
No problems.
Well, you know, Quebec can speak French now and got all the everything we can do that nobody's telling us not to do. They were harder times.
Yeah. Well, glad that some of that is over with. Also, just watching these dueling fiddles, you have similar playing styles, but I'm always interested about the a lot of fiddle players as opposed to, say, violinists. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people have asked me, what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle? And the answer is the music it plays. Yeah. It's the same instrument, anybody who wanted to know, really.
Our friend back in Portland says 100 grand a year.
Depends how good you are, how famous you are.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the classical violinist and many fiddlers are gonna have a chin rest, and you stick it under your chin and twist your arm around absurdly. But Sammy, a little bit, and to a greater degree, Caleb, you actually sort of shove it into your shoulder, and you don't have a chin rest because you don't put it under your chin at all.
Right, you know, it fits right there in the collarbone. I found that works the best for me. And I found over the years, neither of us have had any formal training, but I found over the years when someone's curious, you know, a lot of times we'll play little like school shows or something like that and, you know, do kind of a demonstration. And 99% of the time when someone picks up a fiddle who's never picked it up before, they pick it up and hold it like that, just against.
If they just do it naturally.
Yeah, just as it seems to be a natural, you know, kind of resting it. All these things that violin teachers would say would be totally wrong, probably, like resting, you know,
rest the heel of your hand on the body instrument. That's
probably
a big no-no.
Do that, but I've just found that works the best for me, and I like to hold it down low so I can hear a lot better.
You
don't have your neck tilted, and it's easier to sing. I sing and play at the same time.
So you can actually hear your own instrument better.
And everyone else better, too.
Oh.
And sing.
Because the instrument's not resonating in your chin.
Yeah. I've had fiddle friends who actually wear an earplug in their left ear while they play because it can be pretty shrill, I guess.
I should ask a violinist about this
quiet.
Sometime.
Yeah.
What's that? The thing is not quiet? Is that what you said? Well, Reba's saying this since she's sitting to Sammy's left, so she's really hearing the thing right in her own ear. Do you have an earplug in your right ear then, Reed?
No, I don't.
No.
Maybe she's just deaf in her right.
I would add, though, like, you know, a violinist opposed to a fiddler, you know, there's much more difficult passages that a violinist is playing typically. Not that playing the fiddle is easy, but, you know, I would see that having the violin close to your ear is important in a big, huge symphony when there's a lot of noise going on. You want it up there so you can get those notes precise and right on in all those passages.
Yeah, I pretty much use probably half of the fingerboard that a violinist would use.
Yeah.
You know, just up to about, you know.
That's the other thing, too.
The body meets the finger.
The chin rest was designed, and now they have a shoulder rest, which was under the violin, to prop it up even higher. That was designed so that you can hold the fiddle with your neck and move your hand up and down the fingerboard anywhere you want to. Because as you pull down towards the headstock, the way we play without a chin rest, it will just fall off your body and go with you. You know, you can't move your hand around the violin so much. Like, you can't go up to the top of the fingerboard and back down.
So in your case, the left hand is actually holding the violin, whereas in a classical violinist case,
your chin is holding the violin.
The chin is holding it, and you're free to slide up and down.
Yeah, and most fiddle music is done in the first position. Mm. So you don't tend to go up the fingerboard quite as far, and therefore can afford to be down on your shoulder, and all these things kind of work together. Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting to me to watching is that you hold the bow very differently from a classical violinist, unless it's a you play old time music, unless it's really old time classical music, which is to say Baroque music, authentic way, where they would sort of choke up on the violin like you choke up on a baseball bat, and on the bow, and you hold it much higher up than end, which is what you guys are doing.
Exactly, and some of the old Baroque players as well played the violin down.
Do they?
I've heard that from people who
I've seen that.
Do study that music.
Yeah.
So all right. Some nice little connections between
it's true.
Old classical and old time, whatever that means. Folk and Roots Festival, Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, as the name implies, it's an actual festival that happens once a year. Used to be in September. The last couple of years have been November. But throughout the rest of the year, the Folk and Roots Festival presents other performances, such as the one tonight with Foghorn String Band, and then they've got some other ones that are coming up, including a indoor bluegrass festival. We're actually trying to get one or two of the bands on here. I don't know if that'll happen yet or not. But Ed Hawks is the one who usually lets me know about these events by emails, and he's with us right now. When's the festival going to be this year? Do we know yet?
Yeah, November 1st and 2nd.
So it'll still be in November.
Yeah.
And talk to me about the philosophy, if there is one, of sponsoring all kinds of things between the actual festivals.
Well, I mean, part of the philosophy is just keeping our name out there, you know, letting people know we're here. You know, we figure the more places we can put our banner up, the more people will hear about us, the more people will come to the festival. Our mission is to promote old time or to promote folk and roots music, build community with other organizations in town, you know, try to work with everybody and develop relationships. So a lot of the shows we do, we collaborate with other organizations so that we can build relationships with them and create, like I said, more community in town. So
when you talk about folk and roots, that means quite a wide range of music.
Anything from this old-time music to jazz to klezmer music to some gospel music even. Yeah, I mean, anything that we're not doing, you know, metallic music or hard rock, but any blues music, anything that kind of comes out of traditional music, I guess, and some of even music that's, you know, come over even from Europe and come here and then been transformed into what it has become here.
Well, you have Irish music at the festival
every year. Right,
I think you didn't you have a, was it a Mexican band on at least once?
We had a Cajunta band, it was called, from Texas. It's kind of a Tex-Mex kind of a...
Conjunto.
Cajunto.
Conjunto.
I believe is what they called it, yeah.
I saw that band right before it started raining that year, I think.
Yeah, they were fun. They were a really fun band, I thought.
So it's pretty much anything that is close to the roots.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to, say, rock and roll, which grew out of roots.
But I think we tend to be more toward the acoustic side of things, although, you know, blues music has electric instruments. But for the most part, I think we stick to the more acoustic side of things.
So tell us about some of the things coming up. I mentioned the Indoor Bluegrass Festival.
That's on February 23rd, so that's I think that's a week from this Saturday.
It is.
We have four bluegrass bands, the Bluegrass Biscuits, Grassroots Revival, High Cotton and Black Coffee Fridays.
And those are all local bands.
Those are all local bands, and it's at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway. And just like an outdoor bluegrass festival, we'll have jamming. You know, usually in the summer at the outdoor festivals, the jamming takes place in the campground or the parking lot. At the IMC, it'll be probably in the basement, some of the rooms in the basement. So we'll have jamming that'll start at 4:30. People can come in and start jamming. And then at 6:30, we'll start the concerts. So people can go listen to the music, then in between, then go down, listen to some of the people jamming, just like they would at a festival.
And the IMC, the Independent Media Center, is one of the venues that you are at most often. And there's a couple others, including Techline Studio, which is actually a furniture store,
right,
where that has some folks who are involved with the Folk and Roots and often present shows there as well. They've got one coming up.
Yeah, Lou and Peter Berryman will be at Techline Studio on Saturday, March 2nd, 7 p.m. That's at 307 South Locust in Champaign. And, of course, people can go to our website, www.folkandroots.org, to keep up on all the things that we have going on, because we'll have several other shows coming up through the year leading up to the festival. So we have a community calendar on the website that we try to put as much stuff on there. You know, we include even the Piper's Hut concerts or other organizations' events as well on our community calendar.
Piper's Hut,
the Irish
local
concerts
group that puts
yeah.
on, yeah, Celtic music. Again, generally acoustic Celtic music, and we just had somebody on, I think, last week from there, and try to get on their shows. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Ed Hawks is involved with Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is presenting the Foghorn String Band tonight at 6:30 at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. They're with us live in the studio. We'll hear from them again in just a moment. After I say that today's broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Foghorn String Band are Caleb Clauder on mandolin, usually, also was on fiddle the last tune. Sammy Lind on the fiddle, usually. We don't have a second mandolin, so I guess it'll be exclusively today.
We got a banjo.
Does he play the banjo?
He plays the banjo.
I just saw the banjo just this moment in between your two knees.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that's
well,
how close we are. You couldn't see it before.
I could not, no, and I missed that entirely. Nadine Landry is on the bass, and Reeb Wilms. Reeb, short for Rebecca.
That's right.
I hadn't seen that before. Reeb Wilms.
What it's also beer backwards.
It is beer backwards. Is
yes.
that relevant?
Only in the contents of the letters that spell it.
Only when people go, what's your name?
Wilms, W-I-L-L-M-S. Where does that name come from?
It's a German name.
Is it German?
Yeah.
I was going to say Dutch or something, but
yeah.
Wilhelmshaven.
Huh?
We were just in Germany in December. There's Wilhelmshaven up in the north.
Nice. Reeb is on the guitar. I didn't mention that
yes.
part. Interrupted myself. What do you want to do next?
We haven't heard much from the girls. They're great,
wonderful
singers.
We haven't heard anything
singers.
From the girl. Well, we heard Nadine solo.
Right.
But it was a funny language.
But it was a funny language. Who would know? Yeah.
Well, we're big fans of Alice Gerard and Hazel Dickens. They were pioneers for having women play bluegrass in this kind of male-dominated style of music. So maybe we should play one of Hazel and Alice.
Pick your favorite.
I don't know, whatever.
Let's do the Mining Camp Blues. That's a steppy number.
All right. Here's another...
The Mining Camp Blues.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The key of D for all you players out there.
One, two.
Digging in a hollin', hollin' that bird.
the coal mine camp blues. What was it?
The mining camp blues.
The mining camp blues, which featured the two women of the Foghorn String Band and on the vocals. So that was an interesting tune because it's a blues. It's also old time, and there was yodeling in it.
It's got all of it.
Nice job.
Does it get 100%? Is that an A?
That's pretty good, yeah. I have to think about what might be missing that would get it an A+. But, yeah, that was fun.
Banjo is missing,
but we're gonna take care of that pretty soon, right?
That's right.
I mean, you brought it in, so we might as well hear it. Foghorn String Band will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 6:30. And I have failed to mention so far that besides the visiting Foghorners from Portland, Oregon, a local duo who are called the Yellow Jacket String Band are going to be playing on the show as well. I assume they're opening for you all?
Yeah, they're going to play at 6:30, I think.
Yeah. The 6:30 show starts?
7:30.
Yeah. Is it likely they'll also join in too, or likely not? Or don't know?
We don't know yet. We'll see how...
They're both very good. What do you call if they're three dueling fiddles?
Trio, triple fiddles.
Triple fiddles. Tripling, trueling fiddles. In any event, Kate Fritz is a wonderful fiddler from around here. Tom Torino probably plays a bunch of different instruments, and they constitute the Yellow Jacket String Band. So they'll be on the show tonight as well. In fact, they've been on this radio show, Kate once and Tom a whole bunch of times. And so that should make it kind of extra fun as well. So Sammy has got the guitar. The banjo. I wondered who was going to cover that.
Yeah, well, now that there's just four of us instead of five, we don't have a person playing banjo all the time. But,
unless he recovers from his focal dystonia and is able to come
back. And he quits his job. Yeah, it's a lot of fun in this configuration. I get to play quite a bit of banjo behind Caleb's fiddling, and Caleb kind of put the fiddle, seemed like kind of put it aside for a bunch of years there, and he's been picking it up a lot more, so that's a lot of fun. Should you do one of those good Brown Pig tunes, maybe?
Sure, yeah.
Brown Pig?
No, there's an area of northern North Carolina-Virginia border called the Round Peak.
Oh.
And there's a certain repertoire from there. There's great fiddle players and musicians, fiddle and banjo players that came from there. A fellow named Tommy Gerald, Kyle Creed, Fred Cockrum, Ernest East, Dix Freeman, some of these guys.
Great fiddlers and banjo players.
Not even
bands.
Naming them, not by any means naming them all, but big influences on our music and generations of music.
Yeah, we'll play a fiddle tune that comes from the fiddling of the Ernest East. A lot of these guys all played in a band together on and off, or the band evolved, not unlike the Foghorn String Band, a band called the Camp Creek Boys, which must have been another creek right around the area. And played a tune like this called Up Jump Trouble. Thank you.
Up Jump Trouble, and, a rattle in this fiddle, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. First.
So is this actually something that falls in there and rattles, or just something?
I don't know where it came from.
Because I was involved in a musical at least one particular time, and we were playing in the pit, and there were these kids throwing popcorn into the pit, and sure enough, one of them landed inside one of the violins somehow.
I don't know. For all I know, this could be a baby's rattle. I don't know. I have a son.
That's an old. It's an old tradition to keep a rattle in the fiddle.
It's a rattlesnake rattle, actually.
A rattlesnake rattle, and whenever any of us ever get a new fiddle, Caleb's got one in his mandolin. We always try to find each other. You know, that's the first thing. If you don't have a rattle in your fiddle, it's not quite
it's
legitimate.
It's not authentic, huh?
Not quite a
but
fiddle yet.
You know, just talking about those guys like Tommy Jarrell, you know, just the old fiddle players all did that, and it was just they always said it kind of kept the devil out of there. You know, it's the devil's
box. Is this actually true?
Oh yeah. That keeps the devil out, but also it keeps the cobwebs out if you're hanging it on your wall. So.
Well, you're supposed to play it more often than that, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask
you. If you're working a job or raising kids, you might not be able to play it too much.
Well, that's true, too. I wanted to ask you, Caleb, you referred to this as a fiddle tune, which I've seen many times before. What's the difference between a fiddle tune and a tune that has a fiddle in it?
A tune that has a fiddle in it might be a song. There was no words in that one, so it's a tune.
Oh, there weren't, were there? That's no. Right.
Some fiddle tunes actually have some lyrics, but they're not really like a song, like a ballad maybe. So we'll sort of refer to a fiddle tune, or we'll refer to a song, or a ballad, or,
Kind of. But you wouldn't say, okay, I'm going to sing you this tune. You'd say, I'm going to sing the song, and you play this tune.
But if you didn't have the fiddle in, it could be a banjo tune.
Yeah, but traditionally, if I played Cripple Creek on the banjo, I'd be playing a fiddle tune on the banjo. You know what I mean?
A lot of these tunes came from the fiddle, yeah. And they're fiddle oriented in the sense that, for example, on this tune, I'm tuned up into the key of A, which means my tuning is different than a violin tuning, or the tuning that Sammy was playing in earlier. So the tune really is geared around playing it on the fiddle. And the shuffle of the bow. So if any other instrument were trying to play it, they'd be mimicking this. I might try and play it on the mandolin, but I'll say the same thing. I'm playing a fiddle tune.
But it's still a fiddle tune.
Yeah, Bill Monroe was, of course, probably the most famous mandolin player, but he was, I think, what really set him apart and made him have a distinct sound is that he learned, you know, firsthand from fiddle players. So he actually was mimicking a lot of the rhythms that you'd hear with the bow shuffle and getting those rhythms across in a really, really neat way, I think.
The bow shuffle.
You know, the sort of...
This thing I'm doing. Okay. Call that a shuffle.
Yeah.
And what do you call that when you start a tune with that? Because it's really common. Yeah, ba-da-dum, 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 go.
That's potatoes.
That's taters, yeah.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. You say one set of potatoes is just one measure. You know, one, two, three. Yeah. That's one set of potatoes.
That's dance one, two, three, four.
And that's the way we all get on the same. We all jump.
Where'd that
on
come
board.
From? The term, though.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. That's
a
good question. We need to do
out.
Some research.
Yeah, someone could write a whole doc. You know,
I always mess up and call it peanuts. Maybe someone messed up and it was called something else, and they just called it potatoes.
Our friend from Scotland calls them tatties.
Because tatties are.
Potatoes. So this term travels then, obviously. Nadine, you were going to jump in and say something about the fiddle tune?
Oh, I was just going to say about the fiddle tunes, like maybe more in bluegrass. Some tunes were written on the banjo, like Earl Scruggs wrote the Foggy Mountain Breakdown. He wouldn't call it a fiddle tune.
That's
he would call it a banjo tune.
I hope so,
that the fiddle plays on. But it's not because a fiddle would be in it that it would become a fiddle tune.
Okay.
It would always be a banjo.
And there are mandolin tunes, or there's a couple of tunes I play from Bill Monroe that the fiddle players all just kind of like laugh at because they're like, how are you going to do that on the fiddle? It's clearly a mandolin type piece that really works well on the mandolin.
Are there ever guitar tunes?
Yeah, I think
we were just listening to 7 Foot Dilly, an old recording of this guy named John Dillashaw. People call him 7 Foot Dilly, and he did this amazing finger style tune he called Spanish Fandango. And I would say that'd be a guitar tune.
Because usually the guitar in this context is in an accompanying role.
Yeah.
Playing the chord structure.
A very powerful accompanying role, that is.
Very important.
The lineman.
Always important. The Foghorn String Band is live with us here on Live and Local. Well, I think we'll have time for one more either tune or song. I don't know what we're going to get in just a minute, but let me take a brief break and let you know some of the other events going on in our listening area over the next couple or 3 days. And I'm just sort of sampling. There's a whole bunch of things going on here. University of Illinois faculty jazz bassist Lawrence Gray is going to be giving a solo bass recital tonight at 7:30 in Smith Memorial Hall on the U of I campus in Urbana.
We should have had him open up for us.
Well, that would have been good, yeah. Jammin' Jimmy Bean and friends doing their weekly acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub and Champagne this evening at 6 o'clock. Also weekly is the traditional Irish music session at Dublin O'Neill's in Champagne. That's at 8:30 tonight. Tomorrow, it's Danza Romantica featuring the Latin Jazz Project at Millikan University. It's not actually going to be at Millikan. It's going to be at Cats on Merchant in Decatur. And I'm told that you can dance along with that. It'll be a very romantic evening. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. At the Krannert Center, their weekly Uncorked event will feature the Theater of Love with a bunch of songs about love. At Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Shrek the Musical has a one-time-only performance at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield tomorrow night at 7:30. A Valentine's Day dinner concert with Nathan Carles and the Upstandard Citizens. Standards they're going to do, I guess, at the Hoagland Center in Springfield. That's tomorrow evening at 6:30. Also at the Hoagland Center on Friday, Flat Stanley Jr., the musical. That's at 7 o'clock, also on Saturday with a Sunday matinee as well. Lady Carol and Her Knights will be at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester Friday at 7 o'clock. And the Illinois College Bands will give their winter concert at Rammelkamp Chapel in Jacksonville Friday night at 7:30. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We're at 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. On tomorrow's Live and Local, I put down somewhere on here because I can't remember these things. Oh, yeah. Paul Drescher Ensemble will be giving a production of The Schick Machine at the Krannert Center, and Paul Drescher will join us tomorrow on the program. Also, at Unity High School in Tolono, it's their annual all-out a cappella show. Among the performers is going to be the University of Illinois mixed a cappella group called No Comment. We'll be having them on the show. Not live, unfortunately, but we'll hear in some of their music, and a couple of their members we'll talk to. That'll be on tomorrow's Live and Local at 4 o'clock. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. Thanks very much to the Foghorn String Band for stopping by a little early before their show at the Iron Post tonight. It starts at 6:30 with the Yellow Jacket String Band, and then they'll come on 7:30 or so.
Thank you for having us.
It is a pleasure to have you. A pleasure to have you. Caleb Clauder playing fiddle and mandolin. Sammy Lynn playing fiddle and banjo. Nadine Landry playing the bass. And Reeb Wilms on the guitar. What do you want to end the show with?
We got a song here for you. It's on our new CD. This one's called Going Home.
Is this a new CD that is out or soon out?
It's in front of you there. It's out. We're on tour with it right now. It's called Outshine the Sun.
Here it is.
First CD with the four of us all on it. So it's the most current and up-to-date CD.
And we'll invite you to go to our website to see all the dates of our Midwest tour. We're here until the 24th, all over Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Michigan. And
so you can be a groupie and follow them around.
Yeah, foghornstringband.com.
Okay, let's hear it.